Nessa como sabe qual como zelo tozi. So yeah.
That was mad, bro.
C'est comme un robot, whatever. So yeah, on peut commencer. Tu veux-tu te présenter, Davern, un peu?
Well, my name is Davern. If y'all already know me, I'm 18 turning 19 soon, by the way. And yeah, I play football in my gym.
Puis, pourquoi tu voulais join le podcast?
Oh, well, to share my knowledge with y'all, because I know y'all don't have the same way of thinking on me, so I just wanted to hear also Yubong, what he's going to have to say, because I know this guy's jokes, too.
Puis, t'as écouté l'autre podcast? T'as-tu écouté l'autre podcast au complet ou tu l'as pas encore fini?
Oh, I haven't listened to it yet, though, but I'm going to definitely tune in, though.
Ok, yeah, I bet. Puis, dans l'autre, on a parlé un peu de tout. On a parlé de la religion.
Yeah.
On a parlé de l'histoire. Plein d'autres. So, moi, j'ai une idée. On peut commencer par... c'est une nouvelle année, 2021. So, est-ce que t'as des objectifs pour la nouvelle année?
Oh, I think my biggest objective is probably just finding inner peace, really. Like, inner peace, getting a D1 offer, and achieving the body that I've been wanting for, like, 2 years now. Like, I want to be 200 pounds at least.
Shit.
So, I think I'm close.
Life, t'es combien?
Oh, right now, I'm, like, 182, something like that. But it's really just, like, you know.
Honnêtement, pour le gym, je crois que c'est toi que j'ai vu qui a le plus gros grind. Genre, je connais personne d'autre de toute ma vie qui a aussi gros grind que toi au gym.
Yeah, because, like, the thing is that, like, a lot of people... Like, they don't understand. Like, a lot of people want to get big, right?
Des résultats.
But they don't understand what it takes to get big. Like, I've canceled so much people in my life because, like, I just didn't have time for it. I've had so many girlfriends since I started going to the gym, bro. You don't understand. Because, like, women don't like the lifestyle that I have right now, but they don't understand. I'm not doing this for them. I'm doing this for my kids. Because when they grow up and they've seen what I've done and what I was doing it for and why... Like, they're gonna be proud of me because, like, I'm doing this.
So that's a good example, plus.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's actually really good. You're not even doing it for yourself, you're doing it for your kids. Out of respect.
Like, you don't understand, bro. Like, I'm doing this so that my kids don't have to work a day in their life. Like, my mom can stop working. Like, you understand, like, the baby. Like, a good example of this is the baby, he went in and he was rapping and stuff. And then there's a point of time where he just went and he picked his mom up from work and said, yeah, she's never coming back here anymore. That's the type of impact I want to have on somebody's life. Because now, they can just wake up in the morning. Instead of rushing themselves to get ready for work early, they can just sit back and relax and enjoy their life. Because not a lot of people live, you know? So, like, yeah, that's what I mean.
A lot of people exist, but not a lot of people are living.
Exactly. That's what I mean,
bro. A lot of people are surviving right now, but they're not living.
Exactly.
Ou soit ils vivent, mais ils vivent avec des affaires inutiles qu'ils n'ont pas vraiment besoin. Puis ça, ça les fait qu'ils doivent travailler encore plus.
Exactly.
Honestly, in my opinion, if you're not in Christ, then you're not living. You're dying.
Exactly, bro.
Tu crois pas qu'il y a un entre-deux?
Non.
Non, not really.
Trust me, tu vois qu'il n'y a pas un entre-deux, because when you become in Christ, you see that there's no entre-deux. You see the difference.
Yeah,
right now, big difference. Everybody that isn't in Christ is slowly dying, and everybody that is in Christ is reviving every day. Every day you become new, every day you live again. That's how it is. Christ is life. He says, I'm the life, the truth, the way, and the life.
No, but it's actually true, though. The thing is that I have to thank Yubong for this, because, like, before really Yubong started posting about Bible quotes and stuff like that, like, I really wasn't, like, a believer for real. Like, I was more, like, you know, I was more posing. But then, like, I started praying every day and I started reading the Bible. And, like, I don't know. I just woke up a lot more in peace. So, I've been doing it ever since.
Because, think about it. We're all slowly dying because every day we get older, right? So, we're all slowly dying. Our body's wasting away. But there's more to life after death. So, if you're slowly dying, that means there's nothing that is making you, you know, be younger. There's nothing that is making you, you know, rejuvenate, basically. But when you're in Christ, yes, your body is slowly dying, but your spirit is rejuvenating. So that's what I mean, that everybody that's in Christ is living, and everybody that isn't in Christ is dying. Because our spirits are being rejuvenated every day, and you guys' spirits aren't, and you guys' bodies aren't, you know? So that's why you're slowly dying.
Damn, yeah, that's powerful. But no, yeah, for real though.
Les deux vous jouez au foot, right? Mais
les deux jouent au foot.
Puis vous avez manqué votre rookie season à cause de du corona, right?
Yeah.
Est-ce que vous pensez que c'est un gros loss ou vous pensez que même sans rookie season, vous pouvez quand même performer? Parce que l'année prochaine, il y aura deux classes de rookie, donc c'est un peu weird, non?
Yeah, it's gonna be weird.
I don't know about Devrin, because Devrin is older than me, but as for me, yeah, I didn't lose anything. Honestly, I was actually happy that, you know, I kind of missed out on a year because I really got to learn this year, you know, just by practicing and being around the guys. So that when I'm coming in next year, I'm going to be a lot more prepared mentally, you know?
Yeah.
So it wasn't a big loss, actually. I gained a lot.
Bro, listen, I'm going to be real with you. Like, for me, it doesn't hurt me as much because I'm not even in college yet. But, like, when I think about it, bro, it was more God's plan. Because, like, in my head, I was never really sure if I wanted to be at John Abbott, like, I was always at the training camps and stuff like that, and I was seeing what the coach was talking about, right? But, like, I never was really fully committed to going there. The only reason why I went there was because I live nearby. But then when COVID happened and stuff, it really started making me into question, see where I really wanted to go, where my destination would be. Like, I realized that I'm more of a competitive person, so I'd rather go D1 than D2. So I think it's a blessing in disguise.
Pour aller D1, ce serait quoi les collèges que tu voudrais aller ou les universités?
Well, right now I'm really eyeing on Vanier and CVM because they came to my finals game to watch me play, so it should be nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Puis est-ce que vous pensez que le rookie season ou le senior season c'est le plus important?
Oh yes.
Senior.
I think it's senior because, like, you know, the senior season really capitalizes and says really who you are as a player and what you're doing for the team. Oh, and it shows a lot of character when you think about it, because if you're a vet and you can't talk to your rookies properly, like, it shows that there's some lacking in you, like, personality-wise, you know? Like, think about football, bro.
Like, dans l'off game, mais il va pas l'off parce que c'est trop important, you know?
Exactly.
Puis il y avait... puis moi, j'étais toujours en train de l'off, là, on va pas se mentir. Yeah. Mais Ubon était vraiment genre, je suis dans l'off game, mais c'est plus le temps de l'off en ce moment, on est rendu au playoff. So il montrait vraiment l'exemple et tout.
Exactly. Like, the thing is, bro, because, like, this coming from me, my senior year, though, what I think I did, like, I tried showing the greater example, bro. So, like, I stopped loafing a lot. And, like, people know that, like, I finished school at, like, 4 o'clock. So, like, after that, I had to get back home, just work out at the gym from, like 4 o'clock to 6. Then at 6 o'clock, I had to be at the school directly because I practice at 7. Then at 7 to 9, bro, that's when my practice finishes. I had to come back home and study. So people know I had no life other than football and training and stuff like that. So, like, I kept on, you know, doing that for the whole season. And, like, people didn't know. Like, that whole season, I was running on a torn hamstring. I didn't even tell my parents that I was running on a torn hamstring. So, like, just the agony, bro.
Ça peut vraiment être grave, yo.
Nah, it was bad, though. It was a really bad tear. Like, I wasn't supposed to play the whole season. It was a 3-month
injury. But did you win MVP?
Yeah, I did. I did win MVP.
Oh, crazy. How was that game?
Oh, I have to tell you a big story about it. So, like, the final game of the season, like, my girl broke up with me just before the playoffs happened, and I don't know why she chose that. So, like, you know, me being emotional as hell and using anything I can as energy, bro, I just started getting pissed off. And, like, The semifinal game that we had, bro, I had like 20 carries, like 250 yards. I dropped that much on her head and a touchdown. And I also had receiving yards. So, like, bro, I just went off. And, like, I caught the attention of Vanya and CVN in those games. But then, like, I like the trash talk a lot. So, bro, every time I get a first down, I'd spell my name out letter by letter for the team to hear. And they got triggered at the ending, bro. So, I was going out of bounds. Yeah, I was going out of bounds after, like, a 15-yard run. And the guy hit me straight in the hip. And he dislocated my hip bad. When I'm telling you, bro, it was a bad injury, bro. The trainers had to put it back into place. So, you know, there was a muscle lodged in. So I had to, like, keep this ice pack on it the whole week. And they weren't even sure if I was even supposed to play that last game. So I just go through the whole week. I can't even cut properly because my abs are hurting me bad. But, like, I tell them, you know what? I'm just going to play it. And I went through the first half, I went through it pretty decently because, like, you know, nobody was really hitting me that hard, bro. But, like, the second half, the first minute I came in, I ran for, like, a 35-yard pitch. And the guy hit the same part of my hip, but I still ran and he bounced off of me and I scored a touchdown. But it really re-aggravated my injury. And after that, like, 5 minutes later, like, they took me out because I was too injured, though. So, basically, bro, I ended up playing just, like, one half of football. And I still ended up getting the MVP.
That's actually the whole thing.
I like to think that was really more God being on my side, though, because, you know, I just believe in God a lot. Like, there's a lot of things that you just can't control, and you just don't see it happening. So, you know, that's what I mean.
Dans le futur, tu te vois où dans le football? Genre, qu'est-ce que tu veux avec... Genre, à quel niveau tu veux te rendre pour le football?
Oh, I'm aiming for the top, bro. If I can get to the NFL, then I'll go for the NFL, but that's not my goals. My goal is to get my mom out of what you call Montreal, get her living really nice, though. So,
that's not what I'm aiming for. En tout cas, tu peux faire CFL easy. Moi, je doute pas.
Yeah, I think CFL is an easier objective, though, but like, NFL money is a lot more bigger, and I want my mom to just... I just want my mom in a big house. Like, she doesn't have to be worrying about anything. And, like, CFL, with the opportunities given, yes, I'll take it, but it's not going to feed my mom. It's only going to be able to feed me, and that's just it.
Mm-hmm. Mais est-ce que quand tu rentres dans la CFL, t'as encore des opportunités d'aller dans la NFL?
Yeah, quand of course.
Tu rentres dans la...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, mais est-ce si... Pour les Stan Peters qui joue pour les Eagles live, He went there like two years ago. He's actually playing a lot in the Eagles. A lot. Number 49.
Number 49?
Yeah, the linebacker for the Eagles. He has long brown hair. Every time I see Eagles tape, like on defense, I see him pop up all the time. So that means he's playing a lot.
Yeah, because he's nasty. He's actually a pretty good linebacker.
Yeah.
Mais est-ce que c'est mieux... Vous savez, il y a des training camps pour foot, right? Surtout pour la NFL et tout, right? Mais est-ce que quand tu vas dans un training camp, tu te fais payer ou c'est juste genre... juste la cour?
No, you get paid for the signed, training camp.
If you're signed with the team, then yeah, they're going to pay you. But if you're just trying out, then...
No, they pay you for the trials, though. They pay you to trial, though.
Okay.
Because, like, my neighbor, he went to the NFL training camp for the Annapolis Colts, right? And he didn't make the team, but he still got paid to try out. So every trial you go to, just in case you get an injury or anything like that, right? You come out with something.
Ouais, puis c'est rough, though.
Faut pas se... Yeah.
OK. Puis est-ce que tu veux... Puis l'université aux États-Unis, est-ce que c'est encore quelque chose qui t'intéresse ou tu veux faire l'université au Canada?
I personally don't mind it as much. Like, I'd rather go to the States, though, because, like, there's a bunch more opportunities there than, you know, Canada. And when you think about it, since the currency is worth more there, like, you're best off doing business or, like, trying to go, like, an engineer. So I'd rather go to the States, honestly.
Thanks. Mais aussi, il y a la situation socio-économique, genre l'économie va être moins bien.
Yeah.
Puis, mais là, il n'y a plus Trump. Mais still, c'est quand même aux States, là. Je crois pas que tu es peut-être aussi confortable qu'au Canada.
See, the thing is that people talk about Trump coming out of the White House, right? But they don't know who he put in. Like, do you really think that Joe Biden is better than Trump? I
Non.
personally don't think so.
Moi non plus.
That's why I think the
Non.
illusion is. Like, people understand, like, when you talk, and people don't think about this often, but when you're trying to convince somebody in an argument to get their vote and to get, like, their side on it, to be on your side, you'll do whatever it takes if you're a snake, right? And there was so much signs that indicated that Joe Biden was a snake, but people still went with it because they were so like just empowered to just get Trump out. And when they got
Yeah.
Trump out, then Joe Biden showed his true colors, and people still don't understand it.
Mais dès le début de Joe Biden, tout le monde trouvait qu'il était sketch, puis il y a clairement des affaires qu'il a faites qui n'étaient pas correctes. Pareil pour je sais plus le nom de la fille, mais la fille, elle fait des. Je sais pas en détail, mais genre clairement, les deux sont pas parfaits. C'est sûr qu'il n'y a aucun politicien parfait. Mais je crois, comme tu avais dit, je crois plus que le monde était d'accord de get. Il voulait juste que Trump part, que actually get une bonne idée, de get un bon parti au pouvoir. Puis ça me fait penser, c'est comme au Canada. Quand Steve, tout le monde voulait que Stephen Harper part, personne voulait que les conservateurs reviennent. So, à la place de voter pour le bon parti, le NPD, qui est d'après moi le meilleur parti, ils ont juste voté pour Justin Trudeau, qui était juste l'autre parti que. Qui était sûr de gagner, qui voulait juste être sûr que les conservateurs partent à
Yeah,
la place
basically.
de voter pour MPD. So, I guess c'est juste comme ça la politique. Là, tu votes juste pour que quelqu'un part, pas pour acheter la bonne option.
Yeah, but the thing is that people understand, like, the people who vote a majority of times are not well informed on who they're trying to vote for. They're just voting for the mass, like, who people want to vote for in majority, right? None of them take the time to, like, really, like, not get their vote influenced by other people, right? Like, they just go in blind, you know? It's like the same thing for, like, back, like, I don't know if you guys remember this, but, like, into, like, 2012, something like that, but, like, we had somebody, like, by the name of Pauline Marois, that people just instantly hated and just voted her out quickly. And it's just like, it's been a continuing trend when you think about it in like politics. Like, people just continually vote out people because, like, oh, they realize they made a mistake. And then they vote in somebody else and then they realize it's a mistake. But, you know, they're not taking the time to like actually look at the good, like the good one, the good choice out of the two. But it's gonna continue though. Like, people aren't perfect.
Tant les. Mais en même. Yeah. Mais en même temps, les politiciens, ils disent pas toujours la vérité. Genre, les politiciens, eux, ils veulent aussi juste se faire élire. Donc, ils font comme s'ils étaient parfaits. Puis là, quand ils vont au pouvoir, on voit qu'est-ce qui dit qui était vrai, qu'est-ce qui dit qui était pas vrai. Puis je
Honestly,
crois que c'est aussi.
when I think about it, I don't even think that most politicians want to make a change and like want to like put their ideas into place because honestly, when you're a politician, you get money. Like the presidents of the United States, they get 400K a year to be a president, right? So honestly, I just feel like these people just want a meal ticket. They'll do whatever they have to say. They'll do whatever they have to do and say whatever they have to say just so they could get the opportunity to get that money, honestly. I think they do it for the money and I don't think and the connections. I don't think they do it for anything else. Like most politicians, because think about it, if every politician lies as much as they lie, why are they lying for? It's to get elected. But why do they want to get elected so bad? Why? Like what is the trip of getting elected so bad? Yes, of course, you could influence things to be, in your favor of the way you think and the way you want the country to operate. I understand. But first of all, there's never a big change that actually takes place when a new party enters, okay? And there's never a big change. And also, you have to go through a lot of people for you to make that change happen, right? So if it's not for the change, then what is it for? I feel like it's for the money, honestly. When it's as simple as that, honestly. All these people are here for the money because the money is there. So they want to get it and they'll say and do whatever they have to say and do to get the money.
Yeah, that's what I mean though. Like, when you look about like the United States history, like people might say what I'm about to say right now is completely biased, and I can agree with them. But like, you look at the presidents, I think the only one that actually made a big difference in the positive is Obama and his what you call Obamacare. That made a lot of a difference in the States.
Yeah, but you see, even Obama.
And I feel like he's like the only one, though. Like, he's the only one that I've seen that's actually tried. Because, like, it's so hard to make, like, a difference in the States. Because, mm-hmm. like, you know, they want to talk always about. About money and like what you call
shooting economy, and because of that, that's what tends to, you know, get him into office.
Yeah, that's what got Trump elected in the first place, because like,
yeah,
he speaks to got him there.
Also, Trump came in place because he was a free-minded, honest, blunt. Not honest. I'm not gonna say honest, but.
No, he's not out.
People like ignorance, so. The fact that he was so openly, the actual president was being really raw with the population, a lot of people dig that. And a lot of the ignorant people sided with him because he was saying what they wanted to hear, especially. So because of that, he got elected. And also, he got elected because nobody could trust Hillary. You know?
Yeah.
Hillary had her 10,000 tweets deleted. Emails deleted from Russia. So nobody could trust her. So people were just like, whatever. And also, a lot of people didn't vote. That's why Trump got elected. There's many reasons, but yeah.
I think there's a lot of good arguments in there, too, when you think about it. I think, honestly, if we all went for Hillary, would she have been much different, honestly? My answer to that is, like, no, honestly, because they're both two people you can't trust. But the only thing is that Hillary knows how to keep her silence. You can tell that by her, you know, deleted emails. But, like, Trump was just too much in power. Mm-hmm. Like, he just didn't care about what he says, and he didn't care about the repercussions to his actions, you know? So
yeah.
It was really sad.
Yeah.
Mais c'est aussi pour ça qu'il va rester 4 ans. C'est aussi pour ça qu'il va rester 4 ans là. Il va rester 2 ans, c'est quand même beaucoup.
Yo, Raph, your mic is kind of fuzzy.
Encore?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still bad.
Yo, je te dis, je sais pas qu'est-ce qui se passe.
But no, continuing on that subject though, like, people don't realize, like, how much power those people have. Like, I'm not talking about just president-wise. Like, they could get so much people off for no reason. And, like, people understand, like, if you're just one person with a message, it doesn't do anything. Because we outnumber them by so much. But if we all just came into power as one, we'd be so good. And I think that's the same message for Black Lives Matter, you know? Like, people don't understand. It always takes a death for people to wake up and understand that, yo, this is how we're living. This is what we're allowing to happen, right? And it's never like we just join forces together. It's always like, oh, it happens in Detroit? I bet. Then the states right next to it just start, you know, popping off and stuff. But it's never like we all come, like, from every state together to, like, you know, join forces and stuff.
Yeah, that's what, like, Dr. Umar was talking about. It's talking about how it's so hard to get Black people united nowadays, because back in the day, what was going on was affecting every single Black person. And also, it was really, really, really intense, right? So, of course, all Black people came together because a lot of Black people didn't have anything to lose. But now, there's too many Black people that have things to lose. And Black people now are a little bit more lazy. So that's why we can't really unite. Because, you know, some Black people are really rich, you know. Some Black people are millionaires. Some Black people have their own businesses. They're doing their own thing. And uniting for something that, yes, affects them, but not as much as others, you know, they won't be that interested and that willing to unite. So they stay in their own corner. And that's what, you know, really causes the division.
Okay, let's not talk about Dr. Umar, because he's kind of like, you know, on the supremacist side of being black.
He's a supremacist, but I mean, like, we need more Dr. Umars, though. You see, if I feel like if we had more Dr. Umars in everyday society, and if we had more Dr. Umars in politics and just in high places in this world, black people would be doing a lot better.
Mais bon, j'ai l'impression que Dr. Umar, Umar, whatever, genre, il est tellement extrémiste que tu n'as pas envie de dire qu'il a raison, tu comprends? Mais il dit, il y a beaucoup de choses qu'il dit que je suis 100% d'accord avec. Mais des fois, je suis comme, tu as l'air un peu agressif. So, des fois,
I understand the aggression, though, because the aggression is there because of everything that has happened to black people.
Ouais.
That is happening to black people. Of course, Dr. Umar, how do you expect Dr. Umar, the man that knows the most about black history and black actuality, not to be mad, considering everything that happened and that it is happening right now, how black people are getting robbed all over the world, how black people are being treated like horribly all over the world, how black people were treated horribly, and all these things. Like these things are, they affect people. And if we're somebody that has that much knowledge and that has seen so many things, it's normal for him to always speak with that much passion and aggression because it comes from a deep place in his heart, basically. He's Dr. Umar for a reason, because he cares about the subject, you know? I'm Ubong for a reason, because I care so much about Christianity and all of these things. So most of the time, when you hear me speak about Christianity, I'll be speaking with passion, speaking with emotion. Not all the time, but I'm just saying that's what you may feel regularly. You know, it's normal, considering everything that has happened.
C'est comme il y a du monde qui trouve que t'es agressif, que tu t'écoutes pas le monde, ou trop compétitif. Mais c'est juste à cause que tu illumines vraiment. Mais qu'est-ce que je voulais dire pour Dr. Umar, c'est que surtout, je trouve dans notre génération, ou pas, genre, dans cette période de temps, je trouve que la manière dont tu te présentes, la manière dont tu t'exprimes, c'est vraiment important.
Yeah, being politically correct. J'ai l'impression que si.
Yeah, exactement. Mais j'ai l'impression. Je sais, mais j'ai l'impression que si Umar. Peut-être pas mettre un filtre, mais s'il faisait juste changer la manière qu'il expliquait ses affaires, pour que ça a l'air plus correct, tu comprends? On dirait que.
You're asking Dr. Umar to be politically correct. And that's the Umar.
Non, je veux pas qu'il soit politically correct, juste qu'il s'exprime. Ok, ouais, quand même, mais still.
You are, because Dr. Umar is unapologetic. And when you're unapologetic, what you do is that what you say is what you say, what you do is what you do, there's no going back. Unless you truly feel like what you did was wrong. So if Dr. Umar doesn't feel like what he did was wrong or what he said was wrong, he's not going to go back. He's not going to change anything if he doesn't feel like there's something to be changed, right? But you saying that he needs to change this, alter that, you know, switch up that, you're asking him to be politically correct because you're asking him to fit a criteria that you want him to succumb to, basically. So that's what being politically correct, and you're right, because at the end of the day, in the society that we live in now, 2020, most people are politically correct. And politically correct people are the ones who are heard the most. But just because you're heard the most doesn't mean that your message is actually being understood, you know? Because when you're politically correct, you tend to water down what you're saying. So if you water down what you're saying, people aren't getting the full message. They aren't getting the full effect of what you're trying to, you know, put across, basically. So Dr. Umar is telling you directly what he's trying to say so that there'll be no doubt in your mind of concerning what he said, you know? But you see all these politicians and all these other activists and all these blah, blah, blah. When they speak, it's like, what were you talking about? Like, what were you trying to pinpoint? You know, what were you trying to attack? What were you trying to get at? What was the message for real? Because all I heard was kind words. All I heard was big words. I didn't hear anything specific, you know? Dr. Umar is specific. He's direct, he's specific, and he's truthful. And those three things tend to hurt people who are sensitive, you know, who aren't direct, who aren't specific, you know. So it's normal for so many people to not like Dr. Umar. But people like me, I have nothing against Dr. Umar. I feel like Dr. Umar, the way he may think may be flawed sometimes, not even concerning black people, just concerning other situations like Christianity. Like, I don't like it when he says, oh, Christianity is a white man's religion, blah, blah, blah. Because, like, there's a lot more to Christianity than just being the white man's religion, and it's not even the white man's religion because Jesus wasn't even white. But it's not the white man's religion, though. White people didn't even start Christianity. It didn't even come from them. It didn't.
No, but do you understand what he means, though? Do you know what he means?
I understand what he means, because white supremacy turned Jesus into a white man. They made Jesus look white. In the painting, they made Jesus look white. But Jesus doesn't even look like that. Jesus was an Israeli. Do you know what Israeli is? It's near the Middle East. Jesus looks like an Arab. Not like an Arab Arab, but like Jesus looks, he does not look white. Doesn't look American perspective, even though he's still right. At the end of the day, I just feel like globally, Dr. Umar, with all the knowledge and the education that he has concerning the topic of, you know, black people and America, I feel like it's normal. And I feel like he's allowed to say or express himself the way he wants to, because he's the most credible, basically. He's the most credible. You are Dr. Umar, so you wouldn't understand why he does these things, or why he says these things, you know?
Mais moi, honnêtement, genre, je comprends qu'est-ce qu'il dit. C'est sûr que je suis pas d'accord avec 100%, comme toi non plus, t'es pas d'accord avec 100% qu'est-ce qu'il dit. Mais, je sais pas, je peux pas... Genre, Dr. Umar, c'est pas quelqu'un que j'approuverais en public, you know? Mais il y a 100% des choses qu'il dit qui sont vraies.
No, but the thing is, I feel what you're saying, Raph. It's like, what you're basically trying to tell Eubank is that he's very impulsive with his message, but like, that's what makes Dr. Umar who he is, like,
yeah, as a person. Yeah, si serait pas comme ça, je croirais pas qu'est-ce qu'il dit. Genre, je porterais même pas attention.
I don't think it would be credible, that's what I mean.
Yeah, exact.
Like, other than that, I don't have a problem with Dr. Umar. It's just like, his delivery, it appeals to only one audience, right? When you think about it. And like, but the thing is that, like, and that's how it's supposed to be, because if he starts changing how he says it, just like Yubong said, trying to be politically correct, then that wouldn't be Dr. Umar. That would just be like another person, just another white man just speaking to us. And like, I can get why he's speaking like that, and I'll always appreciate it. Like, my family members don't really like hearing him, because like, he's just too much of a supremacist. Like, I think he could change what he's saying, but at the same time, just stay the way you are, because that's what makes you you. And that's what makes your message so special, is that it's not watered down, it's just direct.
Yeah, mais moi, je trouve que Dr. Moore, je suis 100% correct, il est agressif et tout. Mais s'il y avait quelqu'un d'autre qui pouvait, genre, traduire qu'est-ce qu'il dit pour que ce soit moins agressif, je crois qu'il y aurait beaucoup plus de personnes qui seraient d'accord avec qu'est-ce qu'il dit. Puis il n'y aurait pas de personnes qui l'opposeraient ou quoi que ce soit.
But here, let me just bring it up. Now that you bring that up, now. Let me hear it. So if you were to say, you know, be in charge of bringing somebody else to, like, retranslate and translate what Dr. Umar is saying, who would you bring? Another black man? Because I don't think it would change any difference, honestly. You'd bring up a white man, and then there'd be so much watered down content that, like, it wouldn't even be the same message anymore. That's why I think it should just be him speaking for himself, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it wouldn't change anything, really.
Yeah.
We need more Dr. Umars. Believe it or not, we need more Dr. Umars.
Non, more. Parce que je te dis, 80% du monde à l'école, ou que le 80% du monde que je connais, ils connaissent même pas. Je suis même pas sûr que c'est mes soeurs qui connaissent.
Plus que ça, bro.
Non, plus. Yeah, je sais, mais genre, 98, la... Yeah, mais genre, je suis même pas sûr que si mon père connaît ce gars. Je suis même pas sûr si mes sœurs le connaissent.
Pas, Dr. Umar. Il y a beaucoup de gens qui ne connaissent pas.
I'm gonna be real with you guys. It's because a lot of the black population is sleeping. Like, they are dead sleep. And it's not even funny. So, like, people not knowing him just shows how bad it is. And, like, I understand why he's so mad. It's because there's so much people that don't know. People just don't know, like, the black history. Mm-hmm. And just, like, the basis and the originality of it.
And what's happened to us? They don't act on the knowledge that they have. Like, they know everything that happened, but like, it's like the way they act is like they don't know. You know, they're not giving it a care. They're not paying attention.
The credit, not
walking in wisdom.
Yeah, exactly.
Ils donnent pas l'importance que ça a. Ou ils comprennent pas l'importance que ça a.
Yeah.
Genre, il y a du monde qui font des jokes sur l'esclavage. Non, mais genre, il y a des jokes qui font des. Il y a du monde qui font des jokes sur l'esclavage. Mais genre, il n'y a rien à faire des jokes là-dedans. C'est actually un sujet sérieux.
Mm-hmm.
Puis ils vont faire des jokes sur l'esclavage. Il y a du monde qui vont rire, qui vont le répéter. Puis c'est comme, yo, c'est. Genre, je comprends même pas.
I just find it funny, you know, when you think about it. I just find it funny that it took till 2020 for games like 2K, games like Madden, games like FIFA, all those big corporations to start implementing like all these technologies to detect all these anti-hate speeches. Do you think about that for a sec? Mm-hmm. How long it took them to get to that? And it should show you how much they really don't care about all the minorities besides, like, just it just
no, just say parce que sur internet c'est comme ça.
Exactly,
exactly. Je vais en parler plus tard, mais genre, vous vous rappelez, genre en avril, genre mars, avril, mai, toutes les grosses brands, plein d'applications ont changé leur logo en noir où ils mettaient un petit hashtag Black Lives Matter. Mais maintenant, tu le vois plus, c'est comme si tout était revenu à la normale. So, je vais en parler plus tard, mais. C'est comme si c'était un trend. C'est juste, c'est parti.
Black Lives Matter is not a trend, it's a movement, but people treat it as a trend.
Exactement. Exactly. C'est comme le hashtag. Il y a eu beaucoup plus de personnes qui ont utilisé le hashtag que du monde qui ont signé les pétitions et tout. Puis je peux comprendre qu'il y a des accounts de mimes ou des accounts comme ça qui utilisent le hashtag, mais il y avait tellement une trop grosse différence que c'est juste impossible. La plupart du monde faisait juste ça pour le trend.
Okay, I feel you. But like,
puis moi, no, honnêtement, genre, puis aussi, qu'est-ce que je comprends, c'est le monde en fait ça pour le trend, mais honnêtement, ils s'en foutent genre à 100%. Ils font juste ça pour paraître bien publiquement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Puis ça, je vois ça, puis j'ai des amis qui ont fait ça. Il y a plein de personnes qui ont fait ça que je connais, puis qui ont juste fait ça pour le trend. Puis je suis comme, genre, ils sont même pas là pour eux.
No, but the thing is that I always tell, like, my brothers in this, like, I just tell all my friends this. I'm like, listen, you trying to, like, get, like, equality in general, let's just say equality for every minority and stuff. It's like you saying that you want an equal relationship, right, with a female. Let's just say it like that, right? So people would like to believe that there's some sort of equality in a relationship, like there's a 50-50. But the thing is, there's never going to be a 50-50 in a relationship. There's going to be 51, 49, 60, 40, but it's never going to be a 50-50, you know? We're just trying to get it down to as close. Because remember, people try to chase perfection, but like for perfection itself is never achievable. And that's what makes life so beautiful, you know? Like, that's what makes people so great, because like it's just unique, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So like, that's what I mean, bro. We're going to keep on chasing it. We have to keep on fighting it, but we're never going to achieve it completely and entirely.
The only time it will be perfect and see perfection is when we're in heaven.
Exactly. That's
the only time perfection will be upon us.
Yeah, that's what I mean, bro. So we're just going to keep on fighting for our younger generation, our kids and stuff like that, so that it won't be as bad as it was for our ancestors than it was for, you know, them. And we can't treat it like a movement, because like, the thing is, there's a lot of people that are pretenders in our lives, you know, that actually act like they're really for the movement, but they really don't care. Even your boys, even your friends that just say Black Lives Matter and stuff like that, they're only saying it because they're associated with you and they know how much it would hurt them and how much it would hurt you, you know, to see them not supporting what's going on in life, like, you know.
Yeah, Uba, il y a une raison pourquoi on n'est pas sur le Discord en ce moment. C'est à cause que je m'associe plus avec ce Discord. Il est arrivé juste trop de choses. Puis, j'ai décidé de quitter là.
Comme
genre,
quoi?
Ben, you know, ça vient toujours de Félix. Genre, c'est toujours ce gars qui me casse. Hein.
À chaque fois que je rentre, dis des choses comme sur Dieu, comme quoi, this is pas on all of that. Moi, je suis like, bro, je t'ai même pas demandé, bro.
Cool. Mais, ça, j'ai sûrement l'enlevé du podcast. Mais, en gros, on joue à Among Us, pis tout. Puis on jouait à Among Us, genre whatever, on buvait, il y avait du monde junk et tout. Mais est-ce que vous m'entendez encore? Ok, good. Puis à un moment donné, on écoutait de la musique, blablabla, puis Daniel Kouchev dit le N-word. Genre, comme ça. Moi, je l'avais pas entendu, Mais Brandon, il pull up, il y avait un screen record, whatever, je sais pas. Puis là, il me le montre. Puis là, je suis comme, yo, Daniel, what the fuck? Pourquoi tu dis ça? Puis avant même que Daniel, il puisse expliquer pourquoi il a dit, que, yo, je vais quand même écouter son avis. Genre, je vais pas lui dire, oh, fuck you, Daniel, t'es une petite bitch. Oui. Mais je l'ai quand même, je l'ai entendre qu'est-ce qu'il avait à dire, tu comprends? Donc là, je dis, Daniel, explique pourquoi tu l'as dit. Puis avant même que Daniel puisse dire un mot, il y a Owen, Brandon, Félix qui commencent à défendre Daniel. Mais Daniel n'a encore rien dit. So je suis comme, pourquoi tu le défends quand genre...
À chaque fois que je rentre, il se respecte, bro. C'est tellement gossant. I wish they tried that type of shit with me, bro. Fuck.
Puis genre, il commence tout le temps à le défendre. Oh, après, ils sont comme, oh, c'est pas cool ce qu'il dit, le N-word, qu'il est raciste, blablabla. Puis moi, en vrai, je suis juste pisse. Je commence à être aussi toxique qu'eux. Puis pendant ce temps-là, qu'est-ce qui m'a vraiment choqué? C'est qu'il y a genre François et Zachary, qu'eux, ils sont des modérateurs sur le Discord. So ils peuvent mute le monde, tu comprends? So imagine, j'essaie de ear-rip, je commence à crier dans mon mic et tout. Eux, ils peuvent les mute, comme ça, on les entend pas. Mais François puis Daniel, François puis Zach, ils font rien. Ils font juste les écouter, ils font rien, comme s'ils n'existaient pas, you know? So, j'étais juste genre, rendu là, genre, ils voient que ça arrive, puis ils font rien. Donc, pour l'instant, on dirait qu'ils s'en foutent, tu comprends? Ils vont laisser ça arriver encore puis encore. Yeah, puis je sais pas si c'était... Puis je te l'avais dit, France Ubon, mais c'est la deuxième fois que ça arrive. C'est la deuxième fois que ça arrive qu'il y a un gars qui dit le N-word, puis que soit il y a du monde qui fait rien, pourquoi soit il y a du monde qui le supporte.
Pourquoi tu m'as pas appelé?
Yo, parce que j'ai plus rien à faire avec ce Discord. Genre, je suis
out. Pourquoi tu m'as pas appelé? Pensais-tu vraiment que tu pouvais handle ça tout seul? Bro, t'aurais dû m'appeler.
Yo, il nous aurait juste... Honnêtement, il n'y a rien à handle car je suis plus là-dedans. Je m'enlève de ce monde.
T'aurais dû m'appeler parce que quand je rentre sur ce Discord-là, il n'y a personne qui dit rien de même. Nobody is talking anything close to that. And everybody's respectful. Except for Felix. Felix is always talking bad about God, but I don't even pay him attention. But les gars sont à coche. Yo, t'aurais dû m'appeler, bro.
Non, mais...
He would never try anything like that with
me. Je sais, mais le shit, c'est que même si je t'aurais appelé, ça aurait recommencé une autre fois.
Yeah, but still, I would have said them shit.
Ouais, mais ça, ils vont pas changer. Tu sais bien, c'est la deuxième fois que ça arrive, il va arriver une troisième fois.
I'm just saying them shit because you didn't set him straight. I would have set him straight. I'm not asking to change them. I just would have let them know, give them my two cents, basically. But it's the past, whatever. C'est passé, on passe à d'autres choses.
Mais c'est ça. Moi, je m'associe plus à ce Discord. J'ai quit ce Discord. So yeah. Puis pareil pour Daniel, Owen, Brandon. George, fucker, man. Genre, sans plus. Pour moi, c'est juste des sales racistes, là, je m'en fous. Je m'en fous d'eux. Pour leur vie. So, ouais. LP était pas là. ça m'a été. LP était juste pas là ce soir-là. Mais François et Zach, ils étaient là, puis ils n'ont rien fait. So, ouais. C'est ça.
Not too early.
C'est pour ça que je suis plus sur Discord. J'ai mon petit Discord avec Will, puis tout. So, I guess you shouldn't see it.
But that's what I told you. Like, that's what we're just talking about. Like, the same people that you see supporting the movement that are in your group, that are in your inner circle and stuff, would be the same ones are racist. Like, they're pretenders. That's what I mean. So you have to watch out, because a lot of people are for the movement like it's a trend. But, you know, they're really not following it. They don't know the history behind it. They don't understand, like, you know, people will see, I think people who are non-color that say the N-word are saying it because they don't really understand the history behind the word.
Why?
And like, the thing is, when a verbal confrontation becomes into a physical one, then they play the victim because they don't know exactly what they said. So I think we have to, as a black society, we have to really, you know, like, educate them on what it means and what it stands for so that they don't reproduce it. But after we educate them on the word, then... Oh, if he says it again, then he knows what he did to himself, so he should accept the repercussions that come with saying it, you know?
Yeah, there should be definitely repercussions after education.
Exactly. Like, some people don't even give them the time to educate them, you know? Like, some people just go straight to violence, and, like, at the same time, he might as well deserve it.
But I feel like in the society that we live in, these are things you should know. Like, this is known.
Genre, comment tu ignores ce point-là?
You should, exactly.
That's like, what I
if
mean.
If you're saying it, if you're saying, you saying it just proves that you know what's like the history behind it. Like, if you say something, if you say it, then you can't tell me you don't know. You know?
Yeah. Genre, comment, yeah. Comment c'est un mot qui revient tellement dans le rap et tu sais pas c'est quoi?
Mm-hmm.
Genre, c'est pas. Genre, il y a aucun mot que tu écoutes tellement d'un rap que tu sais pas ce que dire quoi. Genre, imagine, j'entends un nouveau slang d'un rap. Je vais le chercher. Urban Dictionary est là pour ça. Je vais le chercher. Puis je vais voir ça veut dire quoi. Direct.
Yeah. That's what I mean, bro. It's present everywhere. Like, the same thing for, like, the presidential election. Like, I want to bring up before. Like, if you guys think that they're lying or that they're, you know, just saying facts about something, you should search it up because the information is all online.
Mm-hmm.
Their whole life is basically all online. So, like, we're going to go vote. But you don't know what they're talking about, and you don't know, like, who are their associates and what their whole point is, right? Why don't you just search it up instead of just blindly voting for somebody and then being upset again because you guys chose the wrong president? And, like, we have a lot of ignorant folks in our society, you know? Like, I'm not going to vote if I don't know who to vote for. And that's just something I'll do. I won't waste my time on it. Why would I go all the way through town? Even, why would I even go online to online vote for somebody and stuff like that? If I don't know what they stand for, what they represent. And I find that there's a lot of people that do that just because they, like, a lot of people like to follow the masses. That's how life is, you know? People like to fit in. And that's why I'm like, you know, when I'm talking to people that are on a football team and stuff like that, and, like, they're trying to, you know, play, you know, at the higher level, I'm like, bro, you have to be your own man. You have to make your own decisions. You have to stop following the masses. That's what makes you such a great player, and that's what makes you, like, you know, that's what makes it so easy for people to train, you know, because after you stop following the masses, then you become really your own person, and you're able to make all these drastic decisions without having to seek validation from anybody else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And after that, bro, life becomes so much more easier for you, because now you can just live your life exactly how you want to. Like, you're not just surviving. Because a lot of people follow the masses, bro, are just surviving, you know?
No, people who follow the masses are just existing.
Exactly. Like, that's what I mean, bro.
I feel like when it comes to, like, there's two things. So, people who are following the masses are existing. People who aren't are living. And then after you have people who are wealthy are the ones who are living also. And people who aren't wealthy are the ones who are surviving. So, see me, I don't want to just survive, because surviving is like, you know, make rent, you know, pay the bills, blah, blah, blah. I want to be in a position in my life where I don't need to worry about that, where money isn't a worry, basically. So exactly. That's living. That's when you're living life, you know? That's when you may not be living, you know, you may not be alive, but at least you're living life. And
yeah.
If you're not, then you're just surviving. You're still alive, but you're just surviving. And then after you have the people, like I said, who are, you know, following the masses, doing what society wants them to do, basically being brainwashed to think like society, they're just existing, you know. People who aren't, you know, people who are living for themselves are living for themselves, you know. At least they're living, but they're living for themselves. So yeah, there's that.
That's what I mean, bro. That's why I'm telling you, bro, that's why I started to think, like, in Sec 4, why I became so much like guy that I would rather just, you know, just go at girls and just, like, you know, just have sex and then be done. Because, like, a lot of people don't think for themselves. And a majority of them sometimes are women. I'm not going to lie to you. So, like, they get influenced by, you know, choices that their friends want them to make. I'm like, I'm not going to say names, but there's a bunch of times where, like, women let their circle choose men for them, even though they know the man's good for them. And then they get talked into going for a guy that's a lot much worse and just toxic and has no future. And, like, that's why I feel like life is heading towards, you know, like, people are starting to look less for, like, just good people. And they're looking for more people with, like, a bunch of flaws, like, a big sinners, you know? It's, like, that's what I hate about society now. Now we're glorifying being bad people. We're glorifying being toxic, glorifying just not having a good life, just having pure resentment and stuff.
It's glorifying sin, honestly. That's what this is.
Exactly.
Everything that's sinful, everything that's evil, everything that is out of God's will, to glorify it.
Because that's what sells. That's what sells. That's what gets all the views, you know? Doing a good deed nowadays.
C'est ça qui attire l'attention. Genre, tout le monde qui va viral sur Internet, ils font rien de bon. Il n'y a personne qui va viral pour faire quelque chose de bien. pour toutes des quelque chose de stupide, genre Boomkick, il faisait rien de beau, mais il était fucking viral tout le temps.
Bro, listen, I'm gonna say it like this quickly for anybody that's gonna listen to this. Whatever goes in the dark, bro, will find a way to shine, bro. So if you're doing good things behind the scenes, bro, and nobody knows about it, big ups to you, because, you know, you're not being one of those people that just needs validation from the public after you do something good, you know?
And that
be
good one will person. Come up.
Exactly.
That good be your that own you're person. Doing will come up one day.
That's what I mean, bro. So just be your own person, bro, because karma does exist, and whatever comes around goes around. And just don't wait on a good action to happen, because that's never a good thing.
But if you are doing bad in secret, just know that that bad is going to come up too.
Yeah, it's going to come back for sure. Like, I think, like, personally, if you're trying to do good for something or somebody, you should never seek the thing to happen back to you. Because, like, that's kind of selfish. And that's a selfish way and habit that people really get. And you really shouldn't be getting from people. Like, I think that's what makes the difference between, like, you know, you're a regular person and, like, a good person. Because a good person is never going to seek the same thing back. That's when I know you got a real one on your hands. Like, a regular person is going to be like, oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, he's going to be like, yeah, you remember last time I bought you some dinner and stuff like that? I'm like, yeah, can you hook me up this time? Like, no. Just no.
Yeah, mais ça, ça dépend. Parce que je comprends que tu ne faut pas t'en à toujours quelque chose en retour. Mais si tu es, genre, ami avec quelqu'un ou quelque chose, mais cette personne, elle fait rien pour toi, tu comprends? Genre, tu le dis. Wow. So, je vois pas pourquoi tu devrais continuer à genre continuer à faire des bonnes choses pour cette personne-là quand tu peux juste focus sur quelque chose d'autre. Mettre ton argent dans quelque chose de plus important ou mettre ton temps dans quelque chose de plus important, you know? Genre,
I'm gonna be real. I'm gonna be real with you. Like, when you think about it, not like everything in your life has an impact when you think about it, because yo. You think you're saying that like some people in your life and your friends don't have like an impact and they don't do anything for you, but I think like impact stretches a long way from just materialistic things, because like there's a lot of people in your life that just have an impact on you mentally, you know? Like I look at it and like I've had a friend that's been like, you know, probably a decade that I've known for most of my life, and like his impact that he's had on me was mostly just very, very emotional, and it's just a lot more just support. If your friend can be there for you just emotionally instead of money wise, then materialistic things are never gonna matter, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah, mais ça, tu le vois, ça, tu le ressens. Genre, quand quelqu'un est là pour toi mentalement, tu vois qu'il est là, tu sais qu'il est important pour toi, tu sais qu'elle est importante pour toi, cette personne, tu sais qu'elle a de la valeur dans ta vie. Mais il y a du monde qui t'es genre juste ami avec, mais genre. Qu'est-ce qu'ils mettent sur la table? Genre, what do they bring to the table, you know? Genre, qu'est-ce qu'ils font vraiment dans la... Qu'est-ce qu'ils font vraiment à la part être ton ami? Ça, je trouve, c'est important.
But what's your definition of friend, though? What's your definition of friend? Because the way you describe it, that sounds more like an acquaintance when I think about it.
Non, mais un ami, ça peut être legit n'importe qui. C'est pas important si t'es mon ami ou non, mais c'est quel type d'ami que t'es, plutôt. C'est genre... Quel type d'ami? Pas, genre, n'importe qui peut être mon ami. Je ne me considère pas comme une biche. Donc... Je ne me considère pas comme quelqu'un qui est anti-point et proche. J'aurais quelqu'un qui est un close friend. Non. Genre, il y a des niveaux à ça. Il y a du monde que je.
Honestly, my definition of a friend actually changes every week because, like, I don't know. Like, it's not because I don't know who's my friend or who's not my friend. It's just that, like, I'm still trying to figure out. Like, before I thought I had my conclusion to what a friend was. But now I'm really trying. My only friends the people who believe in Jesus. This is a finalizing.
And you know that's not going to be a stressful situation. They'll be able to back you up and support you no matter what. whether it being financially, whether it being emotional, like, that's all I mean. If those people don't bring that to the table, they're not friends. They are therefore acquaintances because they don't know you like that.
Yeah. It's definitely so, like, a friend of somebody who you could count on.
The rest exactly. So, like, the way that Raph, you described it, is more like, you're more of an open-minded person and you're more, like, open to, like, having people in your, come into your life, you know? But those people are just acquaintances and they don't know who you are. So, therefore, they're not really, like, your friends like that. Like, those are just people that just come in your life in and out. Those are just people that just pass by, you know?
Peut-être c'est ma faute parce que, surtout avec les réseaux sociaux et tout, le mot, genre, friend ou ami, genre, c'est rendu, genre, il n'y a plus de valeur à ça, you know? Genre, on est rendu que n'importe qui peut être ton ami et tout. Je crois que ça, c'est juste moi, genre, qui le mot a perdu de la valeur, tu comprends?
So, no, but I understand what you're saying, though. But, like, at the same time, it's more like a friend could be somebody you have to really have, like, in my opinion, you just seen in person. Like, you know, online and, you know, in person is not the same thing. Like, a lot of people are just basically just a whole different person, you know? Like, off of personal experiences with women, that happens a lot. But men, too. Because men like to act a lot more tough online than when you see them in person, then they're not the same person. They're a lot more just nice and clean, you know? So all I'm saying is you're truly trying to qualify that person as a friend. You have to see if their vibe matches in real life. And most importantly, they can't have a negative vibe to your friend. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
Because you don't want somebody dragging your circle down. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bien sûr, et, mais moi aussi, je suis plus genre, tout le monde peut avoir ses valeurs, tout le monde peut jusqu'à un certain point faire qu'est-ce qu'il veut, mais je comprends qu'il faut pas qu'il y ait de choses négatives. Genre, moi, je suis un gars qui veut vraiment, genre, j'ai essayé de tuer mon argent, genre, je veux vraiment pas tuer mon argent, c'est comme quelque chose que je veux vraiment garder, comme économiser, mais genre, j'ai des amis qui tuent leur argent comme des stupides, mais genre, c'est pas à cause de ça qu'ils sont pas mes amis, you know? Genre, je crois pas que c'est si deep que ça dans mes valeurs.
Yeah, you can't, change expect, vraiment. You can't expect your friends to be exactly like you.
Yeah, exact. Genre, quand tu sais, mon argent, c'est un sacrifice. Pas un sacrifice, mais genre, c'est quelque chose que je fais pour moi-même et pour mon futur. Mais je comprends que c'est pas tout le monde qui veut vivre comme ça ou whatever.
I honestly c'est pas un gros sacrifice. Like, but hear me out. I honestly think, like, you have to find a friend, like, somebody who could qualify as a friend also is, like, somebody that has a lot more things that you have in common, you know? Like, me, if somebody's willing to make sacrifices to their life in order to achieve their goals, like, I can, like, totally be their friends just because that's what we all have to do as a whole to get better. Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing. And you see, what you just said is what applies to me when I was defining my friends as the people who are in Christ, because that's what it is. Like, if you can help me spiritually, how are you going to help me? Because right now, all my battles are spiritual. Every single battle I go through is spiritual, right? So if you can't help me, if you can't give me advice, if you can't relate to me, are you really my friend? That's the thing.
Exactly.
Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. Yes, you're dope and all of these things, but are you actually my friend? You know?
That's what I mean. Exactly that, you know? If you're not there to help me and support me and to get to where the destination I want to get in life, then what is your purpose? Your purpose exactly? You're just following me, or you're just a fan? Like, that's not a friend.
I'm not only you helping me, but if I can't help you, are you really my friend too? Because I feel like I could help all my friends. That's the thing. I feel like I could still help all my friends. It's just that since most of my friends, quote unquote, since most of them are in Christ, the advice that I'd be giving to them isn't the advice that they take, you know. It's the advice that would work. It's the advice that would help them. But since they're not in Christ, they won't take it. So if you won't take my advice, how are we even friends? You know, so can I even help you with your problems? You know, because some friends would say, like, let's say a friend is going through something, like a breakup, okay? Some friends would say, oh, go F a bunch of guys, you know, to make you feel better. Yes, it can make you feel better in some type of way, but I would never tell you that. I'd tell you, don't do that, actually. I'd tell you, do something else concerning God. And they'd be like, nah. But like, I understand why you're saying no, but this is what's actually going to help you, you know? So am I really your friend? Because I can't even get to you, you know? I can't even, like, we can't relate anymore. We can't exchange anymore. So are we
Yeah, exactly. Friends? But that's what I mean. Like, there's a lot of things that like, you know, actions don't really have to be done as much. Like, you don't have to consume that much energy doing, you know. Like, they don't understand that, like, you're just sitting back, reading or listening to the Bible while meditating can go a long way for your mental longevity.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they just don't understand that. I think everything has to be done and has to be just done quick. Like, some things in life just take a long time to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a lot of actions that happen to us right now and a lot of things that happen to us don't have great significance and they don't define who we are. And you just have to continue on with time because, like, we're not fully, like, people understand. Like, yeah, I understand that, like, we don't have a lot of time, but we're still young. We still have a lot more life to live.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep on treating yourself right, like, I don't see why anything bad would happen to you.
Yeah, on a beaucoup de temps, mais j'ai pas l'impression qu'on a du temps à perdre.
Exactly.
Yeah. We have a lot of time to do a lot of things, basically.
What? Exactly. Mm-hmm. On est occupé.
All I'm saying is find a way to enjoy what you're doing and make sure that you're actually progressing towards your goal at the end of the day. And that's how you can find a way closer to getting to your goal while also finding a way to live.
Yeah, and like having happiness.
Yeah, and having happiness. Those are the key things in your life, right?
My philosophy is whatever you're doing, just make sure you're having fun. Whatever you're doing, just make sure you're finding something funny, something entertaining out of it, something amusing out of it. Just make sure you're having fun in whatever you're doing, in the small things, in the big things, in the regular things, in the irregular things. And if you have that mindset and if you continue doing that, that's the key to happiness. But there's more to happen. There's more than just happiness, just joy. And if you want joy, joy is never ending. Joy is bigger than happiness. Joy is the big brother of happiness. Actually, not even. It's the father of happiness, because happiness is temporary and happiness is dependent. Happiness depends on your mood, depends on your day, depends on what's going on, depends on your state. And happiness, you know, it's irregular. It doesn't come on all the time. But joy is never ending. It's past human understanding, and joy is everlasting. And the only way you could find joy, true joy, is in Christ. So there's that. So if you want happiness, that's the key to happiness. And if you want joy, that's the key to joy.
I feel you, though. That was very powerful. I got to give you that. So what do you guys want to talk about?
J'ai pas des questions, c'est pas un interview, bro.
t'as des questions, genre, t'as des topics,
J'ai des topics. So, qu'est-ce que je voulais faire, c'est on est au début de l'année, on peut faire un wrap-up de tout ce qui s'est passé pendant l'année, en ordre chronologique, puis juste en parler un peu là de votre opinion, comment vous l'avez vécu, puis s'il y a des choses que vous voulez parler d'autres, genre, juste me dire. So, on peut commencer début 2020, en janvier, au début, ça avait commencé en décembre 2019, mais ça continue jusqu'en janvier. Puis là, c'est les feux en Australie. Genre, je sais que ça fait longtemps, mais au début de l'année 2020, il y avait des gros feux en Australie, puis tout. Puis il y avait beaucoup de... Je sais pas si vous care autant que moi sur la nature, mais il y avait beaucoup de forêts, puis beaucoup d'animaux qui sont morts. Puis il y avait un shit que les scientifiques disaient, puis c'était le seul moyen que le feu arrête, c'est s'il pleut. Les humains ne pouvaient pas arrêter ce feu, you know, parce qu'il était juste trop gros. So, je ne sais pas comment vous l'avez vécu, mais moi, j'étais comme shit, on est legit fucked un peu. Parce que, yo, les arbres, c'est legit la seule chose qui nous reste pour pas de CO2. So, yeah. Je sais pas comment vous l'avez vécu ça, mais...
I think it just shows how much little respect that the humans have for the planet that we live on. Like, there's so much things we take for granted on Earth that are just not able to be, like, you know, reproduced and stuff like that. That's what gets me so mad, is that people take things such as breeding for granted. Like, these trees that we break down, that we tear down, some people just stomp on baby trees for no reason. We're not understanding why we need to reproduce them so much. Like, it's just sad, you know? Like, you're seeing it a lot more in El Perro and, like, the upper cities and stuff like that, like on Kampang, them cutting down forests just to make homes for people, but not realizing that, yo, we need those trees. Like, that's the way that we actually, like, you know, reproduce oxygen that gets, you know, like, used over and over again. It's just sad, you know.
Il y a aussi du monde, il y a du monde en non, non, 2021, mais encore du monde cette année qui jette des déchets par terre.
Exactly.
Genre, ça, je comprends pas qu'est-ce que tu fais. Genre, combien de fois faut te le dire qu'il faut au moins le mettre dans la poubelle, puis essaye de pas avoir des déchets, first of all, mais si t'en as, au moins mêlé dans la poubelle, you know. Puis il y a encore du monde cette année qui les jette par terre. Puis ça, je comprends pas. Quand des fois, tu vois des déchets, puis c'est genre à 3 mètres d'une poubelle, puis c'est comme, yo, come on. Genre, tu peux faire au moins l'effort de le mettre, puis c'est genre, the fuck. Genre, le monde, il y a du monde qui s'en bat complètement les couilles. Ils s'en sont une petite grande page.
And that's just sad, you know. It just shows. Like, we do so much effort to get the message out, like, you know.
See, all of these things are biblical. Like, in the Bible clearly states that, like, you know, all these things are bound to happen. And also, like, the world is dying. You know, not only humans are dying, but the world itself is dying. The fact that the world is dying goes to show that the end is near. And if the end is near, that means Jesus is near. So, yeah, it's like all of these things. You see me? I'm not happy that, you know, there's fires in these forests. I'm not happy that all these animals are dying. But I am aware of why this is happening and how it's happening. So I don't have any emotional ties towards it, you know. And I see this as fuel to, you know, tell more people about the gospel, because Jesus is coming back soon. The end of the world is coming soon. So, like, we need people to be saved, because this is not a game, you know. It's not a joke.
Non, mais si, le plus, c'est, genre, je comprends, mais il y a aussi du monde qui met pas d'effort. Genre, ils s'en foutent à 100%.
Mm-hmm. But this is going to happen regardless. This is going to happen regardless, because when God blessed mankind, when he blessed mankind, he said, subdue the earth and have dominion over it, you know. That basically means, he also said replenish the earth. That basically means exploit the earth, you know, exploit the resources that you have, have dominion. That means be dominant, be superior to all the other things that are in this world, including, like, considering the, like, the animals and stuff like that. But this goes to show that God also said, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply, that means, you know, have children, basically. So, if God is telling us to have kids, it's also telling us to exploit the earth. Doesn't that mean that the more we have kids, the more we're going to be? And the more we're going to be, the more we're going to exploit the earth. And the more we exploit the earth, the more the earth is going to run out of resources. And the more the earth runs out of resources, the less we will have. And the more natural disasters will happen. So all of this it's a chain reaction that started from the first human being all the way to the last. This is bound to happen, basically. This is inevitable. It's bound to happen. This was going to happen the second mankind was created. It's normal, because the earth is in heaven. The resources on earth aren't forever. They aren't eternal, you know. So this is all a part of God's plan, believe it or not. So me, as a Christian, seeing this in the spiritual lenses, I look at this and I'm like, you know, it's just another sign that the world is coming, like the world is ending soon, and that Jesus is coming.
Yeah. Mais je comprends qu'on exploite la terre et tout, puis qu'on aura plus d'enfants, ça va aussi exploiter la terre. Mais il y a une manière de le faire. Il y a une manière de le faire de la bonne manière.
Ok, mais Raph, tu sais que la bonne manière coûte de l'argent, puis la bonne manière... It costs effort, it costs devotion, it costs
time. Mais c'est comme tout dans la vie, c'est comme tout dans la vie. Tout dans la vie coûte de l'argent puis du temps.
Then it costs more time, and time is very precious. It costs more time, more money, more effort, and more thought. People are lazy.
Parce qu'on est, okay? Ça cause on n'est pas habitué de le faire. Non, mais c'est ça.
We're lazy, bro. We're lazy. And because we're lazy, we're going to try to do everything as fast and as easy as possible. And what we've done is exactly that.
Mais c'est justement ça, c'est mauvais. C'est ça que je suis en train de dire. Like, ça va, c'est mauvais parce que le monde ne va pas changer.
Non, mais c'est normal. Qui veut compliquer sa vie?
C'est normal, mais ça ne veut pas dire que c'est normal, que c'est bien.
I know, exactly. And that's why this was bound to happen. It's bound to happen. Regardless, this is going to happen. No matter
what. Mais justement, le monde ne fait rien. Le monde, ils savent qu'est-ce qui va arriver, puis ils ne font rien pour changer.
Il faut rien, ils s'en battent les couilles.
This is the life you live in, bro. This is honestly just something you have to accept. Honestly, you can try your best, of course, to continue to do the best that you can, of course. All I'm saying is that you have to face reality one day, and the reality of the thing, and the fact of the matter is that this will not change. Racism will not change. Climate change will not change. Sexism will not change. The up-down theory will not change. All of these things will not change. Sin, killing, murder, crime will not change. None of these things will change till Jesus comes and we're in heaven. There will be no change till the earth is purified, till God creates a new earth, till there's a new heaven. These things won't change. None of this will change. It will even get worse before it gets better. It will even get worse before it gets better. So at the end of the day, you can't, that's what I'm saying. You can't have any emotional ties to these things anymore because you know it won't change. I'm desensitized to racism. I'm desensitized to climate change. I wasn't always sensitized to it. Before, I was really invested emotionally towards racism and, you know, Black people and, you know, climate change. Like, I had stories about this, like, story highlights about this, right? But ever since I became saved, I took them off. I took my nature highlight off because I was like, bro, this is useless. None of this is going to change. This world is doomed. Raf, you need to understand that this world that we live on, this world that is here right now, it is doomed. This world is doomed for destruction. It's going to be destroyed, actually, by the hand of God. This world is going to be destroyed. So if this world is going to be destroyed, how do you expect it to get better? It's not. It's not. And it takes everybody to make a change. They always say it takes one person to make a change. It takes one person to influence. It takes one person to influence. It takes one person to, you know, make people see a different side of things. But it takes a lot of people to make a change. And until we get a lot of people, and not only a lot of people, but a lot of powerful people, we won't see change. We will not. We will not see change. So you just have to accept it. You can still try your best, but you have to move on with your life. And you have to lean on God. Because it's only with God that you'll see change. And it's only with God that you will experience that change. Because if you're not in God, then the whole life you're going to live is going to be a life of imperfection. And when you die, you're going to go to hell. More imperfection. Hell is the perfect example of imperfection, right? Because everything there is bad. So if you're not in Christ, you have no hope, basically. So all my only advice to you to be get to know Christ, get to know your Lord and Savior, get to know your Advocate. Simple as that.
Yeah, je sais déjà que la terre est fucked up et que tout ça c'est déjà fini en avance, comprends? Alors je sais déjà que la fin est proche et tout, mais moi, le truc qui me choque le plus, c'est que le monde, ils veulent pas changer. C'est comme le monde, c'est... en français, on appelle ça la parousie. Mais ça, c'est the second coming of Jesus, tu sais? C'est right?
Mm-hmm.
Mais c'est ça, le monde, il sait que ça va arriver, puis ils veulent quand même pas changer. Ils veulent quand même pas changer leurs habitudes. Mais c'est justement ça que je veux dire, genre... ils savent que la Terre est en train de mourir. Ils veulent pas changer. Ils savent que Jésus va revenir. Ils veulent pas changer. Genre, c'est plus ça qui me choque.
Yeah, but this point, bro, honestly, the only thing that I really care about is on this earth is whether I'm going to have children or not. You know, whether God is going to come before or after I have kids. That's all I really care about.
Yeah. Puis ça, c'était en janvier, les fois en Australie. Mais en janvier, il y avait aussi le décès de Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Yeah, puis genre, ça avait beaucoup de fait un peu triste parce que c'était plus le Mamba mentality, genre, qui avait beaucoup, ils avaient beaucoup influencé dans leur vie. Vous, ça vous a affecté quelque chose?
Kobe's death was truly tragic. Truly tragic. Like, it made not that it made me grow up, but it made me see life as something that is very futile and something that could honestly, like, it, Kobe's death and Gigi's death just made me realize that anything could happen to anybody. Literally, anything could happen to anybody. I would never be surprised about tragedies anymore in my life because of that event. But it was really, really, really sad. Really, really, really sad. Like the way I felt was so weird. I never felt like that in my life. But I just pray and hope, and I truly believe that, you know, they're in a better place right now. So if they are, then I'm not sad. You know, when I think about them, I'm like, if they're in heaven, I'm not sad, you know. But just just their families losing them, just the world losing them, and also just, you know, the other people that died too, is just like, how sad, you know, how tragic for them to go out like that at such a young age, you know. Everybody there was young, so it's weird, but, you know, God is in control, so whatever.
Et toi, Davron, comment t'as vu ça?
Well, it hurt me a lot, because, like, you know, Kobe was really somebody I looked up to when I was growing up, just his mentality. And, like, he's the main reason why I started becoming, like, a lot more serious in, like, sports and, like, training. Because, like, I won't even lie to you, like, the biggest part and the biggest reason why I wasn't so good growing up at sports was really because I wasn't training enough. I thought that, you know, I'm African-American, like, I should be gifted enough to actually make it there. But, like, he really showed me that, yo, you have to persistently train, and you should always see enough as never being enough. So you're never, like, you know, you're never settling for, like, just mediocre stuff, you know? And that's what I tell to, like, anybody, you know, that I talk to. I'm like, listen, just because, you know, you're bad doesn't mean anything. You could always strive for good. And then when you get to good, then what? Like, you're just going to settle for just being good? Why don't you just go up for great? And then when you hit great, then what? Do you just want to be known for being a great player? Like, you want to... The thing that makes, like, just, you know, all these Hall of Fame and all these legendary players, that they have so much of an impact on so many individuals when it comes to sports. And not only at that, they never set the bar only for sports. They help people across the world in their communities and stuff like that. And that's what makes them such Hall of Fame players, is that people are ready to go out there and do whatever it takes. Like, risk their own body, risk their own lives sometimes to, you know, do whatever to, like, just be looked upon at this guy as such a great person. And that's what makes them such Hall of Famers, you know?
Yeah.
You look puis at the je...
like, puis c'est juste changer le monde et avoir leur impact.
Exactly. Like, think about it for a sec. When you look at the Hall of Fame in the NFL, there's a lot of people, like, such as Deion Sanders, Barry Sanders, Jim Brown, Lawrence Taylor, that influenced and impacted the game so much. And, like, some of them, obviously, they haven't impacted their life outside of sports, like, really good, right? But, like, we're talking about Deion Sanders. What made him so great is that he was a cross athlete. He did baseball and, you know, football. But he's had so much of the great, like, impact outside of sports. Like, now he owns his own football team. Like, he coaches for a team. He's rich enough, like you've seen. Like, he has a lot of money. He doesn't need to be doing any of this, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, he's trying to pay respect to the game. And that's what makes him such a Hall of Fame great player. That he's not settling just for just being a great player, you know?
Yeah. Ça prouve aussi qu'il y a vraiment la passion dans le sport.
Exactly.
À influencer le sport et tout.
Well, it just shows his character. It just shows really who he is as a person, because if he just cared about himself, then he would have just stopped after the Hall of Fame. He wouldn't have cared about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he genuinely cares about the game, so it just, you know, it just shows. But he's a very big believer, though. Like, obviously, you know, he owns a Christian, like, the team's, like, you know, operated by a Christian school, you know? And, like, he really, like, that's why I like him so much, is that he really believes in God, and he really believes in the message and how, you know, humans were created. And a good quote from him was really, like, you know, like, I hate seeing people idle. And, like, the reason why that is, like, just everything on a human body is not made to be idle, you know? You see your nose is pointing forward, your legs are pointing forward, like, be proactive, keep on moving, you know?
Mm-hmm. I heard that somewhere. I love hearing that.
Deion Sanders said it.
All of that.
Yeah, Deion Sanders said it. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually shared it. I remember. Yeah, I posted it on Snapchat.
Yeah I know. That's what I'm saying, bro. So, like, that's why I like him, is that there's a lot of people that are great at things in life, but they don't want to impact people around them, you know? That's why I have so much respect for Dr. Umar, is that, yeah, he's a great person and all. But, like, at the same time, when you think about it, he's impacted a lot of people, but his impact could be so much more greater if, you know, he would actually expand. Dr. Umar has impacted
a lot of people. Dr. Umar goes into the communities. Dr. Umar was a psychologist in school. Dr. Umar, he's done enough. You know, he's doing more, but he's done enough. Like, there's nothing...
He's done enough, though.
Yeah, he's done enough, definitely. He has impacted. I feel like when it comes to the Black community, he has impacted the most. He has definitely impacted the most. Yeah, but what he has, you know, like what he has, he's done the most.
Yeah, but I think now our responsibility now as the younger generation, like we really need to start, you know, like educating people on like the history and like allowing, like never allowing people to like, you know, be racist or like discriminate against other races, not even just our race, but like helping out other races too. And then that's how I think we can probably achieve the closest thing to like, you know, everybody being normal towards each other. I know, as I told you, I don't believe in there being perfection for everything, but I believe we can get very close to achieving it. Mm. So yeah, I think that's how it could help. Cause we always like, I think a society, what a thing we do as bad is that we always want one person to do all the work instead of like completely like separating the workload towards anybody. Cause like everybody has heard the message and anybody knows what to do. But why are we relying on just one person to be that vocal leader? We can all be our own leaders, you know?
Mm.
But yeah.
I just wish people would just educate themselves, you know, but...
Exactly.
Not everybody will educate themselves.
Not everybody's willing to put in that work, you know?
Mm-hmm. Who spent most of the time?
Oh, yeah, Raph, you're bugging hard.
You're cutting out.
Yes, sir, it's in your mind,
nah, you're still buggy.
Wait.
But not actually. Wait, Yubong, you're still here? You're Yubong, can you hear me? Yo, can you guys hear me? Like, I can't hear any of you guys right now. Yo, can you hear me, Yubong?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, bet. All of the sake, I couldn't hear you guys at all before.
All right, Sichuan.
I wasn't speaking. Yeah, I have Sichuan.
But yeah, now we're good. So what were you talking about again?
It's a bug.
Yeah, I think we should end it for today because, like, we touched on a lot of subjects. Like, now the audio is getting a lot more worse.
I bet.
Tremendous.
Yeah, it seems they're down to that. They're continuing with what?
Yeah, I'm always down. And now we just have to figure out, like, you know, like, how we're going to get the audio to be better and how it's going to be, like, you know, we can make this a lot more shorter because, like, let's be honest here. Not a lot of people are going to listen to, like, the full thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
yeah. Maybe you could just cut it in parts. Like, he does 30 minutes of the podcast.
Exactly.
And after another week he does the other 30 minutes of the podcast.
Yeah. And also, like, getting ready, like, subjects, because, yo, there's a big amount of times where we were just, like, dead. Like, the conversation just died out. And that's never good. That's never a good thing for, you know, social